T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome into Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Wherever and whenever you're listening, it's probably beer o'clock, and we've got a lot of good stuff coming up for you right here on the podcast starting right now.
Welcome back to Beers on Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris. Thank you guys so much for listening.
It was a violent snap.
It was very violent because Patrick is very angry.
Not angry, I'm just defeated.
Very angry and defeated. Because his team cannot finish in front of net.
No.
His team being Liverpool, the soccer team.
My team sucks.
They don't suck. But right now they're not playing very well.
True Liverpool fan.
The beer we'll be drinking during this segment is a beer that I had in my week in beer that Patrick didn't know about. So I quite enjoyed it. So I'm happy to be having it.
Yeah, again. I just saw it on the shelf.
We'll be having the Block 15 Cold Front Winter Lager.
Yeah.
And it has a nice description on the back, too.
Saw it on the shelf and just kind of went, cool. This sounds different. A winter lager first brewed with European specialty malts during fall, then cold condition until the snap of winter. Cold front imparts notes of caramel, honey, and dried fruit that rounds out with a crisp, clean finish.
Now, this is a winter beer. This is not a winter IPA. Beer. This is a winter beer.
Oh, wow. This beer's... Oh, no. The 7th of January. I thought that was the 12th.
That's a five-day difference.
Yeah. Well, no. Like, no, not the 7. I thought it was... The 21 upside down.
Oh, so you were like, it was 12. Today?
No, I thought it was made in December.
Oh.
Yeah.
God, I'm confused. So on the podcast today.
I'm distracted. I need to focus in. I'm here. I'm ready to go. It's game time.
Your team sucks.
My team sucks.
So the episode today is in the brews. We have not done one in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Patrick says that there's a lot of news. I am not privy to said news.
Yep.
So I am going to be quite interested to find out what's going on.
And it's basically all focused around the expansion of a few breweries.
Cool.
A lot of new stuff going down.
Well, I'm interested to find out what it is. So that'll be the topic du jour. We, of course, will have a beer of the week as well at the end. I have no idea what Patrick decided to bring in today.
Spoiler alert. I got one of these and posted it in my lineup of beer, and I enjoyed it so much that I got another one.
Okay.
For this.
I have one of those that I wanted to bring in if it was my turn, and if I see it again, I'm going to bring it as beer of the week because
okay.
It's... I was blown away by how good this beer was.
Okay, great.
Like, I'll describe it in a second. you can find us on social media. I'm at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter. Patrick's at PDiddy085 on Instagram, and the podcast is in multiple places. We are on Instagram.com/beersonus. Twitter is at beersonuspod. Facebook.com/beersonus. That's where you can find us. And we've been posting a lot of pictures to Instagram lately. We're trying to be a little bit better about that. So that's where you can find us. You can also DM us multiple places and we'll get back to you. Usually Instagram is probably a good way to do that. But if you don't, you can send us messages on Twitter or Facebook as well. We can beer. Did I forget anything?
I don't think so.
You can find our podcast most places you can find podcasts.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Omni, 1080thefan.com, and radio.com app.
That would be it.
Subscribe, rate, review, and download. It helps.
We like one stars.
We love one stars times five. That's what I love, at least. Okay, so week in beer. As I already said, I had this beer, Cold Front, over the weekend. It was quite enjoyable. I very much like the winter lager style because I love the kind of malt build and the fruit flavors and the kind of like... dates and the sweetness and kind of all that.
Gives
I really enjoy
it. To it.
Yeah, it gives me like a little oomph and a little spiciness to it. It's enjoyable. I had the Black Light Black Lager from Block 15.
Okay.
Which was quite delicious as well. I had Old Reliable, which was Night Howlers of American Imperial Stout from Barrelick.
Drink.
I also tried Nugs from Barrelick Drink. Oh, that was a really good idea.
I know. I really enjoyed that, too. I've had a couple of those.
And I have yet to drink the Sled Wreck from Barley Browns. It's still sitting in my fridge. But the beer I really want to talk about. Remember earlier this year when I couldn't stop drinking Correspondence Wander Export Stout?
Earlier this year?
That was this year, I'm pretty sure.
You mean 2020?
Yep.
Nice.
Last year.
I just let you walk into that.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. It's January of 2021. It is. COVID's still going on, so it still feels like one full year. That was the beer that I really fell in love with last year at the beginning of the year. I just discovered an oatmeal stout that damn near blew my socks off. I took a sip of it and I just went, what? Where has this beer been my entire life?
I love you.
It is Everybody's Brewing.
Ooh.
Sneaky, sneaky oatmeal stout. And on the back of the can, it says it's a top secret recipe that we're not going to tell you what's in it, but you'll expect flavors of this, 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 and this. So they're very protective of this because I think they know that it kicks ass. It is so good. It is so.
You can tell people all the ingredients you want and nobody's going to steal it because they still don't know, like,
right,
when your additions were and
but it was, you know,
your cellar practices.
It's called Sneaky Sneaky. There's like a criminal on the front. Cool. It's just a cool idea, right? This oatmeal stout was super creamy, but dry at the same time.
Okay.
And
sounds like something I would dig.
Gave me like a chocolatey, roasty vibe as well. Whereas like right off the top, it's like cream hits you immediately. And then it dries out significantly and you kind of get a roastiness at the end. And there's a chocolate flavor in the middle. I need to go buy it again.
This, okay.
I could not believe, I was taking a sip and I was like, I need to share this with the world. I posted a tweet on our Twitter page about the beer. I texted you about the beer. I was like, this beer is incredible.
Stood outside on my roof and yelled to all my neighbors.
It was so good. So if you like stouts, look for Everybody's Brewing Sneaky Sneaky Oatmeal Stout. Trust me, it will knock your socks off if you like that style. It is so good.
Have you been to Everybody's?
I have. Multiple times.
It is a cool little spot up there.
I went to the old location, and then I went to the new location, which is right next to the old location.
Mm-hmm.
Funny enough, the old location actually had the better view of Mount Hood.
I know, I agree. Yeah,
the new one, you have to like go to the way edge of the deck, mm-hmm, and like peer around a tree, and then you can see it. But the new one's way bigger, and it's nicer inside. It's like it's modernized, and it's got a lot of space. So I really enjoyed it. You know, if you ever go to Hood River and you're doing a beer trip, just cross the river.
Yeah, just scoot on right across.
Everybody's is right there. It's just up the hill.
And that's that. Now I'm over this.
Did they lose?
Yes. Yeah, I really like it. I think I found Everybody's, let's see, I found Everybody's long time ago, I feel like. Feels like forever. And
I found them like 4 or 5 years ago, yeah.
And yeah, they've just been a really great spot and make solid beer, straightforward. It's nothing too crazy. And even their hazies are pretty good.
Okay.
Because they at least some of the hazies that I've had from them are more of that, I don't know, like what we talk about, what we like, a little more bitterness, a little more hop character,
less sweet. The only thing that I think hurts Everybody's is that every time I see their six packs, the cans are old as dirt.
Mm.
Like if I go to because they do sell six packs like at Safeway,
sure, yeah,
and
most
of the places, I'll look at the date and it's like 5 months old and I'm just like, this is probably not doing them any favors. Like, this IPA is not going to be as good. Like, they have the Cryostash one, and there's another one, too, that they have that's like, I'm just like, this is old. I don't want to drink this. But if you can get fresh stuff from them or you can go there, it's a way different experience. So
I like their stuff.
Because I don't think we see Everybody's a lot here. Like, we get them. But I'm saying in terms of, like, their small batch stuff, their new stuff, or even on draft, I don't see it quite as much as, like, you'll see those six packs. So that's why I wonder if they're getting a bit of a bad rap because of the dates on those cans.
Also, maybe we need to drink and buy in Washington. I bet you they have a larger footprint in Washington.
Probably true, yeah.
That probably helps.
That you,
and it's COVID, so
you'd be way more likely to find those there than me.
Yes.
Considering you go there a lot.
I do like to be in the Southwest Washington area.
Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend lives in the Southwest Washington area.
This is true. So does my mom.
Yep. So you are there quite frequently.
Yep. And I need to find more places, like more bottle shops, because it's like Ben's Bottle Shop and like that's it.
I think that is it, isn't it?
It sure does feel like it. The next best bottle shop is like a New Seasons, which is fine. New Seasons does a great job. But you're just like, come on, guys. Anybody? Someone's like, you should go to Total Wine or BevMo. And I was like, that's a hard pass. That's a really hard pass. I guarantee you none of that beer is cold and all of it is old.
Probably definitely old.
Yes.
Yep. Total Wine has a huge selection of old beer.
Yes, yes. So I'm going to pass on that. My weekend beer. I suppose it's my turn. That means it's my turn.
Yes.
I posted a picture.
I know you're flummoxed by Liverpool losing to Burnley.
I know. I need to focus.
So we're on. We're doing a podcast.
We're doing a podcast here. I posted this picture. Let's see. I drank another Hannah Pils, the Japanese lager from Ferment, which I quite enjoyed. We'll skip that one because that's our beer of the week. I did purchase a new IPA from Logsdon because I was trying to do like try new things. And it's in my fridge. I haven't had it yet.
I remember having an IPA from Logsdon a couple months ago and being pretty pleasantly surprised.
Well, Shelby out there is a really cool dude, and he knows what he's doing. So
I just always knew them as the farmhouse beer
place.
So when I think of IPAs, I'm like, that's weird.
Yeah, but I think once they moved to like Washougal and kind of reinvented themselves, they started to be all across the board. They are still really good at that stuff, though.
Yeah.
And then I got a West Coast IPA from Ruse. Time Signature. It was good. It reminds me of, gosh, Ruse has become this, they're almost like this outlier. They're like, they're doing things now way differently than everybody else. The IPA from them reminded me of those like California IPAs I talk about all the time. Very low body, very low malt, very dry and very hop forward. But it was like the color of it was like a Pilsner. It was so straw yellow. Just because there was no malt profile. And, I've talked about this at length for a while now. That's something that I think some people are looking for. And it wasn't a bad beer by any means. I enjoyed it. I like a little more body into it, as I've, stood on my soapbox and said for a while now. But it was good. I enjoyed it. And then I had a little mini pint of straight out of Portland from Migration, which tasted excellent.
That beer always tastes excellent.
If you get it fresh,
the
beer's great.
That the problem is Migration is in Safeway.
Yeah, so sometimes you don't get it fresh.
You're not going to get it fresh.
But then I had another interesting moment. I was having dinner with the in-laws, and my girlfriend's dad asked me, because they're more like wine and mixy drinkers, and he asked me what beer he can have for me around the house whenever I go over there to drink if I want a beer. And I have no idea what the answer is, because I don't go over there enough for it to be an IPA.
Right.
But it also needs to be something that can be found at a Fred Meyer or a New Seasons.
Black Butte
easily.
Porter.
Pass.
What?
That's not the beer I want to drink, Mike.
That's a great beer, though.
Yeah, it is a great beer. It's not the beer I want to drink. So I was thinking like a lager or a pilsner
Obsidian
of some
stout.
Sort.
Yeah.
Anything barrel-aged. Preferably rum.
Okay, so lager pilsner.
Yes, and I can't decide what to do. I was like, I turned to my girlfriend. I said, what, maybe like...
What about Freem
like,
Pilsner?
I was like, Freem Pilsner? And her dad goes, what? Like, I swear he's about to say Gesundheit.
I mean, that's probably what I would say, because you can find that literally anywhere.
Right, right.
So, yeah, Freem Pilsner.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking.
I'll go back to Deschutes and see if you can get Mirror Pond.
how do I tell somebody? And they usually somebody usually does their shopping for them. So how do I tell somebody like,
check dates.
And this is a list of like 15 breweries you can buy from.
Mm-hmm.
I should just do like Occidental, just anything Occidental.
Is that at supermarkets though?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't know if it's at like Fred Meyer, but I know it's at New Seasons.
Yeah, you'll find it at New Seasons.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I've been having an Occidental hinkering lately.
Well, we were supposed to go there before the pandemic started. That was like the place that said that they were down.
I know.
And then COVID was like, they're not down anymore, guys. It's not going to happen. So that's our weekend beer. Let us know what yours was. DM us on our various socials and let us know. And if you've also had that everybody's stout, tell me if you love it as much as I do, and I'm not an insane person. That beer is so good.
Well, I got to go find it now if it's that damn good.
Also, I forgot. I bought a Fort George six-pack. I'm doing a much better job of checking dates. It is called Tender Loving Empire Northwest Pale.
Okay.
I found it at Market of Choice. It was about 30 days old. And I was like, well, that's a good date.
Mm-hmm.
I think we even mentioned on this podcast, I haven't had a lot of Fort George lately. I haven't loved a ton of Fort George lately.
Ditto.
When I go there, their stuff on draft is usually pretty solid. And
I agree. What is with that?
I can find stuff that I enjoy.
But I love going to Fort George.
But the stuff that gets sent here in cans is really hit or miss for me recently. But I was like, you know what? It's a new beer. I'm kind of doing that. I haven't had them in a while. Let's give them another go. I've had one can of it so far. It is the most strange pale ale I can remember in terms of it's not giving me any flavors that I expected out of it.
Okay.
And the way I described it to you yesterday was, you know when you walk in, well, you know, but I'll, to the listeners too, you know when you walk into a brewery and you can like, you go back a little bit into where the tanks are, there's that smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same in every brewery.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it tastes like off the top.
That's so strange.
It tastes like that and then gets really fruit forward and then is good after, like, you know, solid body after that. But I cannot place that flavor off the top. And I honestly, I'm not 100% sure if I like that flavor. I like the smell. It's a very nostalgic smell now of like going to breweries, and I miss that smell. But tasting it was very strange to me. And I didn't think it was an off flavor. I think it was meant to be like that. I think it was a very hop forward punch. But I don't know what it is. So if anybody else has had that beer and has had a similar experience,
I'm intrigued by that. I know that smell very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I miss that smell. It's probably one of the biggest things I miss from, and not even working at Breakside, but not working in Milwaukee. Right. I was like, every single day you smelled that, and I miss that smell. It's like fresh cut grass.
Sort of.
Or rain. Like right before it rains.
It's not really those things.
I don't mean it smells like that. I mean it smells good like those.
It's in the same realm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
like
I got
fresh
you.
Cut grass, right before it rains. And the smell of brew day. Like, yeah. Those are like my favorite things in the world.
So if anyone else has had that and has a better description of it, let me know. Also, I got a good text from Keith at Brewery 26 after we had their beer on the podcast last week.
Oh, yeah.
He texted me and said, it's funny. It's the beer that I have the hardest time describing to customers. Having you guys talk about it actually helped me appreciate some of the subtle flavors that Andy has been trying to tell me are there.
Oh.
I was like, great.
Yay.
I'm glad that we can help you. I'm
glad that we can help you, even though I distinctly remember saying, I don't know anything about this, but here we go.
Well, yeah. When I was thinking back, I was like, did we say anything like groundbreaking about that beer? I was like, I taste the yeast.
It's pretty much like Saisons. Woo. I don't know anything. I can barely spell it.
Maybe. Really?
Well, no, but you know what I mean.
Okay. I was going to say, you might need to learn how to spell that. You know anything about beer. Maybe we said some stuff in passing that I forget what I said about it. That's the thing with the tasting room episodes. It's like, it's fun, I think, for you guys to do it and listen along with us. I saw Taylor DM'd us his tasting notes for each beer that he drank along with us. By the way, if you guys are doing that with us, absolutely just send us and DM us your notes. Like, that's fun. And if it interests you in learning your palate, feel free to do that as well, because it's just good exercise. Taylor said that his beer, the Winter Rye Lager, was filled up to the top.
Yeah, that's
so strange.
So we
had a strange can that was not filled up to the top.
So we got hosed, is what you're saying.
Also, when I went to Market of Choice this last weekend, I walked past where the Descent Dark Lager from Skookum was. It was gone.
Oh, yeah?
And
you showed me that.
I sent a picture to Patrick. I was like, that was our doing, I think. Because like when I went and took it, like there was plenty there. It was just empty. And I was like, sorry.
What's up, dude?
Sorry if you guys went there to look for that and it was gone. That means another listener probably grabbed it beforehand.
I hope it actually is really good, because I would hate for it to sell out real quickly and then the buyer's like, whoa, this beer is really popping. I should probably buy more. I'll take two cases this week. Then sits on two cases.
Because we did it on the podcast and that was it.
Taylor, in his description of that Descent, interesting smell, pretty simple body, very low carbonation, drinkable. Does not pair with sushi.
I did read that.
That was my favorite line. I had to hit him back. I was like, that's the best line I've ever heard. Does not pair with sushi.
I would think that a dark lager wouldn't pair with sushi, right?
I don't know.
Like, you have to drink specifically Japanese-style beers with sushi. Otherwise,
you could drink Mexican lagers with sushi.
Okay, you have to drink distinctly light-bodied beers with sushi, because the sushi flavor is so overpowering.
Right.
It's very fishy. You can't mix like a really flavorful, like malty something. It's just not going to mix well. So at least Taylor learned that. Sad it was the hard way. I guess.
Just liked it. Does not pair with sushi.
All right. So in the brews.
In the brews.
I think this is in the brews 4 or 5. I didn't check. So
in the brews. And this is more of like, I was inspired by this because I actually want to open this up to a larger, kind of larger discussion. But our friends over at New School, they put out an article about like the most anticipated brewery and taproom openings in 2021. And there's new breweries on there and stuff, you know, but I won't get into that because I don't really know anything about those guys yet. But I noticed there's a lot of expansion news going around, including new one that hit this morning. And we'll just kind of start with there. And I want to, we can chat about this, but then I'd like to get into the larger discussion. Stickman is opening a new location. That will be their third location out in Cedar Hills.
Oh.
Their other ones are in...
I live near Cedar Hills.
Yeah, there you go.
Where are they opening it?
I didn't look at that.
Because I haven't seen... I don't know
the area really well, so I'm just like, oh, Cedar Hills, cool.
Well, Cedar Hills is not that big. It's basically the mall, and then there's a bunch of stuff around it. There's a new Oswego Grill that opened right there.
Okay.
Like some of the restaurants that were there have closed, probably because of COVID.
Yeah.
I think the Oswego Grill is replacing the McGrath's Fish House, which is a fine replacement to me.
Yeah.
But they're also building new buildings. So, like, and the bowling alley that we went to for the fantasy football draft is there.
The Big Al's?
No, not Big Al's. The Kingpins is right there.
Oh.
Didn't you go to that one, too?
Yeah, I think so.
That's Cedar Hills.
Oh, okay.
So that's like a brand new section.
I remember being like, where the hell am I?
There's a McMenamin's right there that's brand new.
Okay.
Michael James's Killer Burger's right there.
Okay.
It's a good little spot for like brand new pop-ups, although it's an older area. So, okay. I mean, Stickman I have not had in years.
Yeah.
I went when it was in Lake O, and honestly, I didn't love it too much, so I just didn't go back.
But I used to work right next to that, that Stickman.
If they're growing, maybe that means they've, you know, improved the beer enough that they think they can grow.
Yeah, and I think they've got another one in Tualatin, I want to say, is where their other one is.
Sure.
So heading out west, and that is kind of a consistent theme you will hear about.
Good.
Today.
Because that is one thing I remember talking to Mike Hunsaker about.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how come the breweries, when they expand, don't come out to Beaverton? Like, Beaverton is a massive suburb,
mm-hmm.
and Hillsboro is even bigger.
Mm-hmm.
200,000 plus people live in just those two towns alone.
Yeah.
And it's like...
It's untapped potential.
All we have is the Ex Novo in Beaverton, which is a nice spot. They make great Detroit-style pizza.
You just got that, too.
I know. That's like a year old. Ancestry's in Tualatin. I guess Stickman is in Tualatin. And Ancestry is like, you know, far west to Tualatin. And beyond that, we have the Great Notion.
The Great Notion's
by where I live now, too. It's up in the Timberland Mall, up on Barnes. So, I mean, yeah, it's there. That's it, right? And the Great Notion spot is super small. It's just kind of like a tap room. It kind of feels like. They probably serve food, too, but it's a very narrow, like, plot of a strip mall area. And he basically just said he didn't think that there was a lot of customers out there. Because of, you know, just the way that the beer scene went. And I was like, I don't know if that's right. Like, I feel like there's a lot. It's very untapped potential, you know?
Buckle up, Buttercup.
All right.
Because you're about to get more.
West Side?
Let's see. Breakside announced that they have three new locations that they plan to open in 2021.
Three?
They're taking the Winnebago, the Breaksider, the Winnebago, the 70s Winnebago they restored. And that's going out to a food cart pod out in East Portland, like 82nd kind of area, so you can get Breakside beer out there. They're opening a tap room in Lake Oswego, downtown on the Strip, right next to the Salt and Straw.
Great.
Which should do very, very well.
Wonderful location.
And then they're opening like a German-style beer hall in Beaverton with a huge outdoor area and like a stage and a bit. Yeah, this is just what I'm reading and what my friends over there have told me about. Some big, giant German beer hall in Beaverton
that
with
is
Breakside beer.
Incredibly exciting. And I hope that it's close. Like, because Beaverton's big.
Right.
Everything is close, right? Quote, unquote. Like, there's a...
I believe it's near the Ex Novo.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right downtown Beaverton, so...
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Also, Von Ebert is opening a place in Beaverton as well. And they're opening a spot at the airport.
Okay.
The airport excites the hell out of me because when I go, anytime I'm at the airport now, I will only be drinking Von Ebert.
Well, so, okay. What I learned about the airport breweries is that you make like an X amount of year deal and then they rotate after 3 or 4 years.
Oh, really?
So it used to be Hub
mm-hmm.
and now it's no longer Hub.
Didn't the Hopworks turn into Henry's?
No, Henry's closed, remember? Everywhere, except like everywhere. No, Hopworks did not turn into Henry's.
Okay.
Henry's was in the ABC. Hopworks was in D and E.
Okay.
And now there's Deschutes there. Deschutes didn't used to be there. I think Deschutes replaced Rogue. And I cannot for the life of me remember what went in for the Hub, unless it is still Hopworks and I'm forgetting. I haven't been to the airport in a year because of COVID. usually I would go to one of the breweries when I was there because why not? Okay. So that either they're going into a news location or they're replacing one of the other breweries. I think.
Something like that.
Cool.
So, and then a spot in Beaverton.
Do you know where?
I don't. Again, I don't know the area, so they say things and I'm just like, nah. I mean, I can pull up the article. I can also like tweet out the article from New School.
I would love to.
It's kind of got everything written there.
I'd love to take a look because back where I used to live in Beaverton, which was more like in the neighbor, Southwest Neighbors area, down by where Big Al's is that old Ruby Tuesday had been open forever. And it's a cool building. It's right on like a man-made lake. Right in the middle of Murray and Shoals, like a huge intersection. I guess the rent was pretty high, which is why nobody was buying it.
Okay.
There was a rumor that Ram was going to go in there.
Ooh.
You know, the chain brewery.
They don't exist anymore.
Oh, are they gone completely?
I think so.
Oh, this was years ago that there was the rumor that they might go in there. That never happened. I was always disappointed because I lived there and I was like, this is right here.
Yeah.
I could walk here from where I lived and not have to worry about driving and have a couple beers and go home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't live down there anymore, but that would be a cool spot, too.
But now you got all these great places that make great beer that you just show up and grab a four-pack from them.
Yep. I got... So, X Nobel's already there.
Yep.
And then I can get...
You're going to get a Breakside. You're going to get Von Ebert.
And Stickman.
Yeah.
So, okay. Great. That's very exciting.
Keep them coming.
Thank you guys for... Maybe X Novo was like the little guinea pig, and they were like, how are you guys doing out there? Oh, we're doing great. We're selling pizzas, selling beer. COVID's been fine to us. You know?
It's on.
Let's go.
And then the last couple, Upright's going to open a new tap room out on Northeast Prescott, kind of east side. That should be exciting just to have more places to drink Upright. And the newest one that dropped this morning, which I'm really excited about, on Williams, which is not too far from my neck of the woods, the old Hop Works Bike Bar is going to be a migration.
Oh, cool.
And that excites me.
That's their third spot now,
yes,
right?
Because I kind of like migration.
So migration's OG spot is on Sandy, right?
It's on Gleason.
Gleason, but near Sandy.
Yes.
Then they opened up the rooftop one.
It's like Gleason and 30th, right around there.
They opened up the rooftop one, which is down in Slab.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more like it's more like Providence Park.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't been there. I just thought it was there.
It's more like Burnside than Slabtown.
Okay. And then this one will be...
They have their mass production facility in Gresham.
Okay.
As well.
Cool.
So this will be their fourth spot.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, which just kind of opens me up to this. I mean, migration is also two doors from Grains of Wrath.
I was going to say, isn't that where the PDX Grains was from?
So that watch out for that Williams spot. Like, Beaverton's grown in a good beer scene. Watch out for Williams. Williams might be the next kind of hot spot, at least in Portland proper.
Isn't that the OG X Novos over there too? Not on Williams, but in that neighborhood.
Yeah, kind of. It's more on the south end of it, closer to 405.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Laboratory was right down there. And then, I mean, if you really start talking that way, then you just swoop on up the hill on Albina, Mississippi there, and you've got Ecliptic.
True.
And then Stormbreakers up the road. So.
And if you want to go look at a place that you used to like to go, you can go to Widmer.
Yeah. Well, you can't go to Widmer.
I know. I'm saying you can look at it.
Yeah, you can look at it.
I've been here before.
Yeah, it's giant. It's massive. North Portland getting, you know, just coming along. My kind of place, my kind of scene. So I'm into that. But
that's good news for both of us.
Yes. But the whole reason that I wanted to bring this up is I find it really interesting that you're looking at places like Migration is going to open up their fourth spot. Breakside's looking at three new locations.
Which is crazy because I remember... Like, when they opened Slabtown, it was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is a huge step. Like, they went from small little decom, and they had Milwaukee, and that was it. And it's like, here we are.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, what's next, right? Like, are they going to do another one somewhere else? Oh, no, we're just going to do three.
Three of them. And then you look at Von Ebert is opening up a third and a fourth location. I mean, Glendevere's not even that old.
I forgot about
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so my question is, or not my question, but my the conversation I wanted to have is that maybe, you know, we didn't get, a lot of breweries didn't get everything they wanted in 2020 as, you know, due to the pandemic and stuff. And sales and barrelage and production are obviously massively decreased. But you're looking at some of these breweries and they're able to expand, which tells me maybe the beer scene that everyone feared was going to just crumble is actually better than we expected.
Makes sense.
Still kind of thriving.
I mean, what we've talked about many times is it allowed everybody to start canning. And what's one thing that everyone's doing during the pandemic and quarantine is drinking.
Yeah.
So you can go and you can find, and it's not just like at bottle shops, but for those who live in the burbs like me, you can go to a at least the more upscale supermarkets, and you can find the beers that you want to get. Mm-hmm. I think that's been nothing but helpful, I imagine. And I think it's grown the brands of a lot of these breweries that people maybe went to once. Like, I think of Von Ebert, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is incorrect, but the way I view it is Von Ebert's in a great spot, right? Where Fatheads used to be. I'm not talking about Glendevere. I'm talking about the Pearl District one. It's in a fantastic spot. But people go to that spot usually for Deschutes 1 and 10 Barrel 2.
Agreed.
Because they want the rooftop bar from 10 Barrel, and they Deschutes
and they
is,
want the OG.
Is classic in the neighborhood. So because of that, I always kind of felt like Von Ebert was a spot people went to because it was in the area, but it was never the destination.
Mm-hmm.
But that means to me that they went there and went, OS, this place makes great beer.
Yep.
And because of that, when they were canning this last year, everyone went, I've been there before and I like their beer. And they started buying it up, and it started spreading a little bit better too.
I mean, I think that's the best brewery in the Pearl District. I don't even think it's close.
No, I agree. Yeah.
But I also, you know, looking at this list, and you know, I'm going to excuse Stigman from this list just because out of recency, I haven't had their beer in a while. Migration, I think, makes very good, above average beer. Very good beer. Breakside is a cream of the crop. Upright is maybe pound for pound the best brewery in town. And Von Ebert is climbing.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, the facts all remain and will always remain that there's two kinds of beer. Good beer and bad beer. And this list is good beer.
Yeah. I am a little bit worried. I don't want these breweries to spread themselves too thin.
Right.
I'm not worried about Breakside. It's not you guys anymore, but Breakside makes a ton of money.
So yeah, I'm not worried about that.
I'm not worried about that. But, you know, like when Ex Novo decided to, you know, make a distribution facility in New Mexico and then they opened in Beaverton, it was like, are they spreading themselves too thin? Like,
right. It's the first thing you think about.
This was a small brewery that was not for profit, right? It was a nonprofit brewery. And you're like, what are they doing spreading themselves so far and wide? I guess it's working, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's doing well. And I have the same worry about Von Ebert, but because they've already gone to one place in Glendevere and had success over there too, that's probably a good sign, right?
That they
can expand a little bit further as well. So I don't know. I think that I kind of have two ways that I look at it. I think the pandemic is good and bad for the expansion for one reason. It's good because more breweries have found that they're successful and that people will drink their beer no matter what, so they can open other places. But the bad thing, in my opinion, is that I think a lot of these places would have been bought by new breweries who would have a chance to enter the market.
I see.
But they're not doing it because of the pandemic. They didn't get a chance to spread, or because of the pandemic, they didn't have enough money to go through with their plans of buying a place or
lost any momentum or things like that.
That's one thing that worries me a little bit. Although I love all the breweries on this list, I don't want it to become like a monopolized thing where five breweries are everywhere. And everyone else has like one spot. Like I always kind of enjoyed that. Like I would go to a neighborhood.
You're a man of the people.
It would be like, oh, this is new. I've never had this. Let's give it a try. And it's like, now I'll go there and be like, well, I'm going to go to Von Ebert because I love Von Ebert. You know, it's like,
screw you, little guy.
I worry a little bit about that.
It might
be nothing. It just might be the way I'm viewing it. But obviously new breweries aren't opening in the same way as they used to here because of the pandemic.
You don't want it to be Demolition Man where there's the fast food wars and now every restaurant is Taco Bell.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
I did find some things here. The Stickman is in the Kirkland Place Plaza.
Okay.
In the Cedar Mill area of Beaverton.
Oh, well, that is near where I live. Let's see. Kirkland. You can keep going. I'm just going to
And they're going to make pizza.
Okay.
So is Von Ebert. And so does Ex Novo. So I hope you're into pizza, Mike. I know you love Portland pizza.
I do like Portland pizza. It's just not the best pizza in the world. So stop saying it is. Let's see. Where is that? Oh, my God. Okay. That's going right next to Market of Choice.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Which is right near where I live.
There you go.
So it's going to be right near Market of Choice and right near Grains of Wrath.
Grains of Wrath?
Great Notion.
Oh.
Sorry.
72nd and Prescott is Upright.
Okay.
Let's see.
Von Ebert is...
Von Ebert. By Design Pizza. That's they're absorbing by design pizza.
Okay.
And I don't know where it is. So you'd have to look up by design.
By design pizza Beaverton. That's also next to market of choice.
Oh, okay. Oh, and they've got okay.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me that in one little section of Beaverton, there's going to be Great Notion, Von Ebert, and Stickmen all with half a block of each other.
Sure.
If that's the By Design pizza that I'm thinking of.
And I guess By Design had a pizza out in Cascade Station as well.
Okay.
So that's the Von Ebert, not at the airport.
Oh, it's at Cascade Station.
It's at Cascade Station.
What on earth is happening? Okay, cool. This is exciting because I live there.
Yeah, what do you care, dude? You're jacked.
Let's go. And then where's Breakside up? You said Cedar Hills, right?
Oh, yeah. Where's that one? The Beaverton one?
Is this about to be a dream?
I don't know, man. You're gonna move out of Beaverton before you know it.
well, maybe. I moved to where I moved because of the divorce, right? I got divorced,
right.
And I moved up to the neighborhood I did because I'm living with my roommate, and he wanted to be close to the Max, and it was like, okay, cool, like, I don't care. But I live up there, and there's not a ton of great food options nearby. It might change really quickly.
Yeah, right? Okay. As you can see, I did all of this research now mm-hmm. instead of, you know, before. Lake Oswego.
Well, it's not Lake Oswego.
Beaverton, be an outdoor Munich Oktoberfest-style beer garden built out into an open lot on the opposite side of the block as Ex Novo's Brewing Pizza Pub.
Cool. All right. So that's not outdoor, Cedar Hills, but it's central Beaverton.
Outdoor beer hall style wood benches, string lights hanging overhead, fire pits, a polka stage, a bar built out of shipping container, and more green plants to warm up the 8,000 square foot space.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of like empty parking lot areas over by where Ex Novo is. So that makes sense.
The beer garden will run adjacent to a new restaurant from Please Louise, which are kind of Breakside family members. They make pizza.
So it's going to be Breakside pizza, Ex Novo pizza, Von Ebert pizza. Stickmen probably making pizza.
Pizza! Stickmen is making pizza. Pizza!
Are they going to do anything else?
I hope it's all Detroit style. All of it is the same style.
Straight competitive.
Just straight focaccia with ranch, Detroit style pizza.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm. All right. Well, that's exciting either way. Places to go drink beer.
Yeah. Well, you got to have outdoor space, too.
That's fine.
That's the most, well, I mean, you know, to make money.
Yes. Well, that little area where Von Ebert and stuff is opening, like, there's a lot of homes in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a brand new, like, built up strip mall area. Cool. That's like a year or two old. It looks like it's brand spanking new. And I was like, this is kind of a poppin' little place. I wonder if there's going to be more. And I saw there is construction being done where Stickmen's going. And I'm like, I wonder what they're going to build here. Apparently a lot of breweries. Thank you, beer guys. I appreciate that as a Beaverton resident. Much love.
Yeah, me Much too. Love. I appreciate it too because it'll keep those damn bridge and tunnelers coming out of my city.
Oh, you shut up. You shush. We love the city.
I know. So why don't you move there?
Because it's more expensive, you jerk.
I know. I pay way too much. I'm going broke.
All right. Well, there's our In the Brews. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I like that. Thank you for telling me that.
Yeah, you're welcome, buddy.
I hope all of you guys who
you know there's a bunch of like news sources out there and stuff you can follow.
Yeah.
Like BrewPublic and News Corp are pretty on top of stuff.
I know that. But you know what I like to follow more? You.
Oh, man. At PDD085.
On Instagram. Took a really cute pic with his girlfriend the other day.
That's because she's so fly.
I liked it from the Beers on Us page because I don't have an Instagram. All right. That's going to do it for that. Let's get to our beer of the week, huh?
Yeah, you
Is
ready?
There anything else you wanted to talk about?
Nope, that's it. Okay. I mean, there might be some beer news that I'm not thinking of, but I thought I'd just focus on kind of the expansion and
cool.
The excitement of that.
I'm ready for beer of the week. You said that like it's going to be nerve-wracking, so I guess we'll find out.
What?
You were like, are you ready? For beer of the week.
Oh, yeah. Are you ready?
I think
it's going to be fun.
Okay. Fun.
I think you're going to taste a lot of things you've never tasted before.
Whoa. Okay.
At least you will.
Okay, cool. Well, let's find out what that is next. This is Beers on Us.
And it's a really famous beer.
With Mike Lynch.
And Patrick Harris? Question mark.
Beer of the week time! Here on Beers on Us. Us with Mike Lynch and Patrick Harris, Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Oh, that was a good one.
This is a very cool-looking can.
Yes.
It's a brewery I've never heard of before.
Yes.
It's a cool name.
Yes.
What are you getting me into here?
This is a famous beer. It's a famous beer because it's one of the more mass-produced beers of this style that not a whole lot of people mass-produce. This beer is technically a Saison.
Oh, two in a row.
S-A-I-S-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
From Off Color Brewing.
S-A-I-S-O-N.
From Off Color Brewing in Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago.
This is Apex Predator.
Cool. I've never heard of it before, so if it's famous, it's not famous to me.
Well, we used to see it in town from time to time, and it was always kind of exciting. You're like, oh, wow, cool. Apex Predator's in town. And now everybody's got it because I think they just did a big can release.
Cool. All right. So what do you think, compared to the Saison we had last week, how different do you think this is going to be?
I don't know. I can't remember the Saison from last week.
Okay.
I know.
It was very, very drinkable.
Very drinkable.
And it had a good yeast quality to it.
I jumped on the Off-Color website.
This looks hazy. That's interesting.
I jumped on the Off-Color website to kind of see if they had any information on this beer. And boy, they have a lot.
Okay.
So maybe I'll like tweet this out on the page or something, or send it to you and you tweet it, because I don't know how that works. But just real quickly, it says, Saisons are the hoppiest of the Belgian beers, and Apex Predator is no exception. But beers with a pronounced hop profile don't have to be defined by it. With a fragrant, juicy fruit aroma, dry finish, and a hint of honey, Apex Predator has many different layers. We use a free-rise fermentation where the yeast is allowed to get as high as 80 degrees Fahrenheit during fermentation. When paired with the correct yeast, we create a pleasant bubblegum character. And then, yes, they dry hop it with a bunch of crystal hops, which give the beer a grassy floral character. Using honey malts adds a touch of sweetness to an otherwise very dry beer. When this yeast ferments, it turns everything it can into alcohol. Not that we help by adding sugar to the kettle. We package it with a slightly high carbonation level to bring out the aromatics so you can taste it before you take a sip.
Interesting.
And then it says, nerd alert, we're going to geek out here, so if the beer equivalent of Dungeons & Dragons isn't your thing, then you best click on one of the other tabs above. And they go into this huge three-paragraph thing on esters.
Oh, okay.
So your homework, kids.
I'll tweet this out. Yeah.
Yeah, your homework, kids, is basically go to the Off-Color website and learn about esters.
Cool. I will say, based on the description, the nose of the beer is not as strong as I thought it would be based on the description.
Okay.
This is a very good beer. Mm-hmm. I've taken a couple of sips. It is very different from last week's Saison, minus the fact that you do taste the yeast kind of quality in the middle. But this has a lot more like bubbly carbonation aspect to it. And it's got a little bit more of a hop punch to it as well. But I am getting the yeast character. I don't really get the honey in my first few sips. That could just be more of a subtle flavor I'm not getting.
And I don't know if I'm tasting honey per se either, but I am getting a touch of sweetness.
Right. Well, they said they added sugar though, right?
Yeah.
So that's different than the honey. Interesting. I like it a lot, actually.
Well, it's a honey malt. It's not like actual honey.
Didn't they say touch of honey? Oh, they already was a
in
honey
a flavor malt. Profile.
Oh, okay. Makes more sense that it would be less pop for that flavor. But this is never a style I would buy myself. Like, Saison is not in my wheelhouse, but this is really good. And it's a little bit less drinkable, I would say, than last week's. Like, the Brewery 26 one was really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
This one's got a little bit more of a slow down while you drink it vibe to it. But it's interesting. I like it a lot.
This is a beer that I discovered this beer a long time ago. Probably in like my early Cerveza days. So we're talking
get a little lemon.
6-7 years ago, something like that. And this was one of the first beers that I had that really wasn't an IPA or a hop forward beer that I really liked. Cause back then I was just drinking pale ales and IPAs, you know, and Rainier. So I would say Apex Predator and like the Alt beer from Occidental, those two beers were the first beers that I kind of went, oh, I can drink other beers and like them. I think the beer to drink music to, is what it's called, from Dogfish Head, is a Trappel. And that was another one where I was kind of like, oh, this is good. and so Apex Predator will always have just a little kind of soft spot in my heart.
This is wild.
The can is awesome.
It's a great can. Yeah.
It looks so dope.
It's all black and white. It's got this kind of like lion that looks like a horror movie lion
because
it's got like a really messed up face and a huge mane, and it looks just really cool.
Yep.
Really, really cool. I don't know how else to describe this beer other than you guys should try it if you find it. Where did you get this? This was at Veza?
I've seen this at Cerveza. I've seen this at Bridgetown. I think Off Color must have just done a drop and everyone kind of picked it up.
Gotcha. If you guys have never seen this beer, even if you don't like Saisons, give it a try. It's a mix between like a Saison and IPA to me in the way that I'm getting the flavor profile.
It's just cool and different. And I've been trying to like stay focused. You know, I keep looking over at the COVID wall and there's a lot of crispies. There's a lot of IPAs. There's a lot of dark beers. So I'm trying to just keep finding different stuff. I didn't even realize that we were doing Saisons 2 weeks in a row. Maybe I should do some research and learn some things about Saisons.
Because it's a style we've talked about as one that scares us. Now that we've had two of them, I'm not as scared anymore.
Well, and for me, it's just such a large category with so many like tree branches going in different directions that it's like it feels overwhelming to me.
Because it's got so many different potential
flavors. Yeah, so many layers that it's like, wait a sec, how do I learn about this if you're all going in different directions?
Well, yeah, but you also can't learn about it if you never try them, right? It's one of those catch-22s.
This is true, my friend.
Because I was the same way. I was like, I don't know much about this. I probably won't like it. It was over in like the... It's always like win the sour section. It's like Saisons, Gozos, and Sours are all together.
You're like, avoid that.
Well, I'm like, I don't love Sours. I don't love the Gozos. I'm like, I'll just probably avoid this section.
At Cerveza, they put all those next to the dark beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you're forced to look at it.
Well, I mean, would I be? Because I just look at the dark beer and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this now.
And I'm out of here.
All right, pretty good. Really enjoyable. Apex Predator, Off Color Brewing from Chicago.
Chicago.
How about Chicago? I don't know much about Chicago's beer scene.
They got a decent beer scene.
Goose Island's out there, right?
Yeah, so there's Off Color there, and there's Revolution is a big one out there, too.
Cool.
Chicago's beer scene's actually pretty good.
Getting better, too, you think? Cool. Well, there's our beer of the week, Off Color Apex Predator. An interesting Saison. Very, very big depth of flavor in this one that is certainly interesting to try. All right. Let us know what you thought about the beers from last week, if you tried them with us or if you had them in the fridge. If you had any of the beers that we have talked about that we liked very much, including the Everybody's Oatmeal Stout, the Sneaky Sneaky that I was talking about, let us know. And I will tweet out a picture of the off-color description of Esther's, or a link.
Yeah.
And you guys can go read about it yourself. Next week, we'll be back with another episode. We can actually, with the new system in place, schedule our posts.
Say what?
So instead of it being 4-ish, unless I forget, it'll be posted at 4 on Thursday.
Every time.
Every time.
Look at us. We're growing.
We're growing.
We didn't do anything about
it. Nope. This was something completely separate. We're just benefiting from it.
Yes.
So we'll have another episode next week. We haven't talked about it yet, but we'll figure it out. Hopefully vaccine soonish-ish. And we can start getting out there again.
Got that Federal Reserve opened up.
Yeah, we got a new administration, so maybe they'll do something different, and we'll get it faster.
That guy owes me money.
$1,400, right?
He owes me $1,400. Congratulations, you're the new guy that owes me money.
Yep. All right, that'll be it for us. Subscribe, rate, review, download, find us on our socials, and we'll see you guys next week.
God bless.